All right. Good evening, everyone. My name is Courtney Gallagher. I am an associate and landscape architect with Morris and Ritchie Associates. It is 6 o'clock and we will now begin our meeting. MRA is the civil engineering and landscape architecture firm working with D.R. Horton to develop the subject property. I am joined by several members of the development team from D.R. Horton, including Jeff Otenasek and Brian Griffin. Tonight we are here specifically to discuss the Severna Park Golf Residential Development Project. I will go through a brief presentation and then I will open it up to the audience for question and answers. As Merrily stated before the meeting, we would appreciate if you could hold all questions and comments until the end during that question and answer session. This meeting is being recorded in its entirety for inclusion on Anne Arundel County's community meeting website. I'll go into more details about that later as well. This meeting is required per Anne Arundel County Subdivision Code Section 17-2-107. That code specifically states that a community meeting must be held within the 6-month period prior to the initial submittal of a subdivision plan or a preliminary plan. The developer intends to submit a sketch plan for the subdivision of the subject property within the next several months. The purpose of this meeting is to present information regarding the development proposal and to give the community an opportunity to ask questions and make comments. I would like to clarify at this point in the process, this project is still in the design development phase and no plans have been submitted to the county for formal review yet. However, we are in the process of finalizing plans for submittal in the next several months. Before I get into the details of my presentation, I'd like to turn the floor over to Councilwoman Amanda Fiedler, who's requested an opportunity to make some brief statements.
Good evening, everyone. If I have not met you before, or if you are unsure of your county council representative, I represent you on the Anne Arundel County Council. This area is Severna Park in Millersville. If you follow me on social media, you know my position on this project already. I am not a fan of the current proposal, but it is important that you understand that this is not a county meeting. This is not my meeting. But I do have to leave this evening. I have other commitments that I have to make in the district. So I just wanted to share with you some important information. Because I cannot stay, I was able to talk to these folks earlier, actually yesterday, and they shared with me exactly what they are going to share with you today. One of my biggest frustrations when this popped up in my email 2 days before Thanksgiving is how on earth 135 units on 19 acres in an R5. And then I chatted with them, and what it boils down to is that in 2024, the Anne Arundel County Council passed legislation, the Housing Attainability Act, in an effort to create more affordable housing. I had a lot of concerns about that bill. The biggest one was that if a development was able to achieve the maximum density allowed in a zoning district, they could get up to 150% bonus density on top. So that is how we got here. It is allowed by law right now, but that bonus density, that amount of bonus density, was one of the reasons that I voted against the bill, even though I know that we need more affordable housing. My children, I want them to live here. I'm the third generation of my family to live here. I want my grandkids to grow up here. It's a wonderful place, but it is incredibly expensive. But I also know that we can't just plop down this amount of units anywhere to get affordable housing units in the county. So I don't want to take up really any much time at all, because this is their meeting to share with you, and I want you to have opportunity to ask questions. But I will tell you this, whether you support the idea or you do not support the idea, I am already committed to working to a solution that would minimize the number of units that could be developed here. It's going to be a huge lift, and I'll need support from residents like you if you agree with me. If you don't agree with me, you can oppose it wholeheartedly. That's your right, and that's the process. But I am working on a solution. I will be sharing it through my newsletter as soon as it's ready for public consumption. But I'll need you to respond, and I'll need you to come to the county council, and I'll need you to let my colleagues know how you feel, because I'm one of seven members, and it takes four to change anything. So with that, I'm going to turn the meeting over to the folks here this evening. Reach out to me at any time if you have questions about the code, how this all works. I'm happy to explain it to you. I'm happy to come into your individual communities and go over this again, even though this is not my development. But with that said, I appreciate your time and the opportunity to speak before you start. Thank you all.
Thank you, ma'am.
So to begin, I'm going to go over the existing conditions for the site. I have two existing conditions exhibits here. This black and white drawing contains some more detailed information of the features on site. And this here is an aerial of the site. The property is outlined in white and gives a little bit more context surrounding the property.
Could you speak up, please?
Oh, sure, I'll try to speak up.
Thank you.
The Severna Park Golf Project is located at 1257 and 1273 Ritchie Highway in Arnold, Maryland. It includes two properties that are shown on tax map 39, including parcel 72 and parcel 368. The property is bounded by Governor Ritchie Highway, or Maryland Route 2, to the west, Anne Arundel Community College to the north and the east, and the Dogwood property mobile home park to the south. The entire development area encompasses 19.24 acres. The project is being privately proposed by D.R. Horton, as I mentioned earlier. The properties are currently owned by a private entity. The entirety of the property is zoned R5, which is a residential zone. The property is located within a priority funding area. For those who are unfamiliar with that designation, a priority funding area is a designation assigned by a local government indicating where they want state investment to support future growth. The site is currently developed, as I'm sure many of you are aware, with the Severna Park Golf Center. That includes two parking areas towards the north and the south of the site, a miniature golf course, a driving range, and a par 3 golf course. There are currently two access points into the site, the first of which is here off of Maryland Route 2, and the second of which is to the south off of Smith Road, which is a private local road. Smith Road also provides access into that Dogwood community here to the south. The property is not located within the Chesapeake Bay critical area. There are no wetlands, wetland buffers, or 100-year floodplain on the subject property. There is an intermittent stream located along the north side of the site here that has a 100-foot stream buffer associated with it. The majority of the site, as you can see here in the aerial, is open lawn. There are small area of woods that are on the northeast and southern perimeters of the site. The wooded areas on site total approximately 1.4 acres. In addition, there is a man-made pond here towards the center east side of the site that has no environmental designation. There is an area of highly erodible soil on the site along the sort of eastern portion of the site here that totals approximately 1.82 acres. No historic resources have been identified on the property. Maryland Route 2, however, is listed in the Maryland Inventory of Historic Properties as Site AA-4. According to that report, and I quote, "Only portions of Ritchie Highway retain enough integrity to be considered a scenic byway. The most intact section is located at the southern end between Arnold and the Severn River," end quote. Based on the best available information, we do not believe this includes the portion of Maryland Route 2 that is adjacent to this property. The property is not located within a protected or unprotected green infrastructure network. No rare, threatened, endangered, or endangered species have been identified on this property. There are no steep slopes that meet the county's definition of steep slopes. There are no bogs on or in the vicinity of the property, and all of these environmental features have been field verified. In terms of this site has some very unique topography. The majority of the site actually sits lower in elevation relative to Governor Ritchie Highway. The highest portion of the highway here is at elevation 98 approximately, and slopes down to roughly elevation 75 here to the south. The majority of the site sits between elevation 54 and 70, with the lowest point being here at the stream at elevation 52, and the eastern portion of the site sloping slightly back up to elevation 78, and the southern portion of the site sloping back up between to elevation 62 to 80. So this site is somewhat of a bowl, just to give you some context relative to the highway. There are two off-site drainage areas to the south and the east that currently drain into the property through the site and then out that stream to the north that will need to be managed and accounted for with future development of this property. So with that, that concludes the existing conditions on site. I'm going to move to the development proposal here. All of the existing, and I'm sorry, let me tell you what I have here. This is a black and white site plan that shows the proposed roads, utilities, grading, and stormwater management. And then this rendering is mostly just the site plan. It does not show grading or utilities, but it shows the surface features, including the buildings, roads, and stormwater management. It's a little easier to read that rendering, I think. So with the proposed conditions, all of the existing structures and parking areas are proposed to be demolished with this proposed development. This site is proposed to be developed with 135 townhomes, including a mix of 24-foot wide and 20-foot wide front and rear load units. The townhouse units will be fee simple on individual lots. In accordance with the current zoning regulations, a minimum of 10% of the proposed units must be moderately priced dwelling units, which I'll refer to as MPDUs for the rest of the presentation. As the councilwoman alluded to, this is a relatively new requirement that went into effect July of this year. As a point of reference for an MPDU, the initial sale price may not exceed the price that a household earning 80% of the median income for a household of four for the Baltimore metropolitan statistical area can afford. Give you a little idea what that means. The base allowable density in the R5 zone is 5 dwelling units per acre. For this project, that would equate to 96 dwelling units. However, in accordance with Article 18-12-701, a development that includes MPDUs shall qualify for a density bonus by providing additional MPDUs. In the R5 zone, the maximum density that can be achieved under this provision cannot exceed 150% of that base density, which for this particular project would actually be 144 units. As I noted, this project proposes 135 units, which exceeds that base density allowed. In order to achieve this increase in density, a total of 23 to 24 MPDUs will be provided. During the review of the sketch plan, the county will confirm the total MPDU requirement for this project based on that proposed increase in density. Townhomes are a conditional use within the R5 zone and therefore have specific bulk regulations that include increased setbacks and coverage restrictions and height restrictions, to name a few. The site plan that we have shown here accommodates and accounts for all of those specific bulk regulations. Site will be served by a single entrance here on Route 2, very proximate to the existing entrance on Route 2. They will no longer have access from that second southern point that exists today. The entrance proposed on Route 2 will be a right in, right out, which accounts for the fact that this is a divided highway and the left turn out of the development is not feasible. That entrance road will loop throughout the development to provide access to all of the proposed front load units. In addition, there are two spine roads here that will provide access to the rear load townhouse units. All of the roads within the site will be private roads that will range in width from 24 to 28 feet wide, and they will be located within rights of way ranging from 26 to 42 feet wide. The front load 20-foot wide units, which located within the center of the site here, will each have a one-car garage with a tandem one-car driveway. The remainder of the units, including the 20-foot wide rear load units, 24-foot wide rear load units, and 24-foot wide front load units, will each have a two-car garage with a tandem two-car driveway. The townhomes will be up to 4 stories tall and up to 40 feet in height. The maximum height permitted in the R5 zone for a townhouse is 50 feet. The parking requirements for townhomes is 2.5 parking spaces per unit, which for 135 units equals 338 total parking spaces. This development includes 340 parking spaces, including 304 garage and driveway spaces and 36 surface parking spaces that are located throughout the development. Sidewalks are proposed throughout the development to provide connectivity from every front door to the amenity areas, which I'll identify in a minute, as well as out to Route 2. The open area requirement for the project is 3.85 acres, which is equal to 20% of the site area. This project includes approximately 10 acres of open area. A total of 1.08 acres of active recreation is required for this project. This project includes a total of 1.08 acres distributed between 3 active rec areas. This project proposes less than 20,000 square feet of proposed forest clearing. Therefore, the project is exempt from forest conservation requirements. Landscaping will be provided along the site perimeters and within the site to address the landscape manual requirements. Particular attention will be made to providing a landscape buffer along Maryland Route 2, where no buffer exists today, and enhancing the existing buffer to the south, adjacent to the existing residential community there. The project will be served by public water and sewer. An 8-inch public water main will be extended from an existing 12-inch main within Maryland Route 2. That water main will loop throughout the site to provide service to each of the units. In order to provide sewer service to the site, a proposed 8-inch gravity sewer main will be extended down Maryland Route 2. From an existing sewer service located roughly here, just north of the community college. It will be extended down Route 2 to roughly the proposed entrance location of the development. 8-inch public sewer, gravity sewer, will be provided on site to provide service to each of the units. However, due to the grade difference between the site and the road, that on-site gravity sewer will have to discharge to a station, which will be located here at the lower part of the site adjacent to the stream buffer. From that sewer pump station. It'll be a public sewer pump station. Effluent will be pumped uphill via a 4-inch force main to the proposed sewer extension in Route 2. The proposed limit of disturbance for this project, including that off-site sewer extension, is approximately 15.9 acres. Stormwater management will be provided in accordance with Anne Arundel County's stormwater management design criteria, which includes environmental site design to the maximum extent practicable. This includes micro stormwater management practices, such as microbial retention and bioswales, which will be located throughout the development. Those are identified on this plan with a sort of a bluey-green overlay. You can see there are several proposed throughout the development. These practices are small landscape depressions, similar in nature to a rain garden, that capture runoff for small drainage areas ranging from 1/2 acre to 1 acre maximum. They are designed so that the facilities will hold water for no longer than 24 to 48 hours. The intent is to have rain runoff flow over land to these facilities where they can filter through soil media and then infiltrate into the ground to the extent possible. Any water that does not infiltrate into the ground will be collected by the proposed storm drain system and then piped to one of three outfalls that we are currently proposing here adjacent to the stream buffer. In addition, those two off-site drainage areas that I mentioned will be captured into the storm drain system as well, routed through the site, and then discharged through two of those outfalls where they currently flow today into that stream buffer. Based on our current assessment, peak management is not required for the site. So you see that we're not proposing any larger stormwater ponds, just the smaller stormwater ESD facilities, they call them. School-age children in the development will attend Broadneck High School, Severn River Middle School, and Arnold Elementary School. All three of these schools are currently open for enrollment. Based on the current design proposal, no modification requests are anticipated with this development. That concludes my outline of the proposed conditions. I'm going to walk through some of the next steps before I turn it over for question and answer.
What's the elementary school again?
Arnold Elementary School. So as I stated at the beginning of the presentation, the development team is preparing to submit a sketch plan to Anne Arundel County for review. The sketch plan is the first step in a three-step review process mandated by the county. Upon submittal and eventual approval of the sketch plan, the development team would prepare and submit a final plan submittal package. That submittal package would include more detailed engineering plans as well as a subdivision plat. That final plan is step two of the review process. After the initial submittal of the final plan, the development team would be required to hold a second community meeting, very similar to tonight's meeting. Concurrently or subsequently to submitting the final plan, the development team would prepare and submit a grading permit application, which is the third step in that review process. The grading permit is a site construction document that includes the engineering plans prepared during the final plan process, with the addition of erosion and sediment control plans. Even though the grading permit can be submitted with the final plan package, it cannot be approved until after approval of the final plan and recordation of that subdivision plat. Upon approval of the grading permit, the construction process could commence on this site. This three-step review process typically takes 2 to 3 years in Anne Arundel County. And again, we've not officially started that process until we submit the sketch plan.
When are you submitting that?
In the next couple of months. So with regards to this community meeting, as I mentioned, this meeting is being recorded and it will be submitted to Anne Arundel County tomorrow for inclusion on their community meeting website. At that point, a 14-day comment period will begin where people can review the recording and send in questions or comments on the development proposal. In addition, comments can be sent to community meeting comments at aacounty.org. I can repeat that after the meeting if you did not get that email address. Any emails should reference Severna Park Golf. Once that 14-day comment period closes, the development team will prepare and distribute meeting minutes along with any comments that were received and responses that were prepared. Once those meeting minutes have been distributed, that will conclude the community meeting process, and then the developer will be able to submit that sketch plan at any point after that. So that concludes my portion of the presentation. I think the folks from D.R. Horton are ready to turn it over for comments and questions. So we're just going to do, I'm going to call on people, so please wait your turn. I will try to get to everybody. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Dana Shalhan. For those who don't know me, I represent District 5 on the Anne Arundel County Public Schools Board of Education. My question for you tonight is, why wasn't the school system informed of this development prior to the completion of the recent redistricting?
So this project, it has not been submitted. Once it is submitted to the county, it will go just like to every other agency within the county. It will go for review at that point. At this point, the project isn't really official until it's submitted, right? So,
yes, but you're talking about, yes, the schools are technically open, but we just redistricted Arnold Elementary, which now will sit at about 98% capacity for all of those who don't know that. So my question again is, if you want the county and the school system to partner with you in any way, boy, it sure would have been nice to have known about this prior to the redistricting process that has been occurring over the last 9+ months.
So I can't speak to that. I don't know if you guys can offer any more about the timing of the project and that redistricting, but.
No, we were approached by the seller and put under contract, and that's all I can say about that. I don't know the redistricting, when it happened in Arundel County or anything.
It's been well publicized for the last 9 months. It just doesn't show good faith as a partner when we just redistricted Belvedere to Arnold and moved a bunch of families there, making that school 98% capacity.
Right.
I'm pretty sure those folks in this room probably agree with me wholeheartedly on that is unacceptable in terms of a lack of communication. And by the way, I do not speak on behalf of the whole board, just myself, and I'm outraged by this proposed development.
Sorry, okay. How long do I have?
I mean, there is
not being fast.
There is,
stop you. We have to be out of here at 7.
I don't have
so we can't.
Okay.
All
right, I have to write it down.
That's ridiculous.
All right,
we're gonna let this woman speak, please.
Okay. My name's Lauren Ebersberger.
Can you stand up and speak louder so we can hear you?
Okay. My name's Lauren Ebersberger. I'm a lifelong resident of Anne Arundel County, born and raised here. Last 20 years, I've resided in Arnold. I live in the Timbers community, I see a lot of you here, which is adjacent to the Severna Park Golf Center. I have been an Anne Arundel County Public School middle school teacher for 22 years, and I currently teach on the peninsula. I have two boys, one goes to Arnold Elementary, and one goes to Severn River. I strongly disagree with and oppose this proposal, replacing the existing golf center. I can guarantee not one person in this room is probably here to support your plan. There's not one positive impact that comes out of this. Let's start with overdevelopment. Ironically, I'm teaching that right now in my classes about overbuilding and negative effects it has on the environment. In the last 10 years, we have developed on the Brunswick Peninsula. All of these developments are either along Ritchie Highway, on a cross street of Ritchie Highway, or within 3.2 miles of Ritchie Highway. I'm going to list what's recently in the last 10 years. 2015, Canterbury Village, we had 30 homes, 100 townhomes. 2016, 34 townhomes in Admirals Bridge. 2016, 70 townhomes in Hawthorne's Grant. 2017, 24 homes in Stevens Village. 2019, 51 townhomes in Arnold Ridge. 2022, 140 condos at Element at Mill Creek. And lastly, what's happening right now, 27 homes at Ford's Grant right next to Arnold Elementary. When is enough enough? We cannot handle anymore. We do not need any more homes, whether it be townhomes, houses, or condos. Leads me to my next issue with traffic. 5-minute commute can take easily 20 to 30 minutes. It took me 28 minutes to get from my house, and I live 3.2 miles away. We have buses that are late every single morning and every single afternoon picking up our students due to traffic. Ritchie Highway is by far one of the busiest, and it doesn't matter what time. There's an accident weekly along Ritchie Highway. This happens, Peninsula's at a standstill. You literally cannot get anywhere. I won't even talk about the summer because I don't leave my house due to the traffic, unless it's in the morning at 6 a.m. 130 townhomes, it's two cars per home, 270 cars already in a highly congested area, makes no sense. 5 years ago, our entire neighborhood attended every meeting and proposal when developers wanted to get rid of the mobile park home that housed over 55-year-old veterans. We're back now, and we brought the entire county with us. As an educator and parent, I am deeply concerned about our schools. I know what the utilization chart states on paper. The schools are overcrowded. Walk the hallways, stand in the lunch line, come do a lab with 35 middle schoolers in a small classroom. Join a 38-student Spanish class, I hope you find a desk. Take a gym class with 39 other eighth graders. The reality is our classrooms are overcrowded. It's not fair to students, it's not fair to teachers. This is the most students I've had in my 22 years of teaching. Lastly, the golf center. I don't know if the owners are here. Rob?
No, I don't think he
is. So,
has it been sold, actually?
Does D.R. Orton own the space?
Excuse me.
It's owned by Augusta Associates. I don't think they're here. Anyways, it was built in the 60s. It's been a community staple. It's the only golf center in the area unless you want to drive 35 to 40 minutes to another crowded area in Anne Arundel County called Crofton. It hosts golfers, families, couples, and kids on a daily basis. Driving range, putt-putt, nine-hole par, three-course, I could go on. My kids now are enjoying what I used to enjoy as a kid. They take golf lessons there. They go to camps. They play mini golf. Both of my kids spent their entire summer collecting golf balls in the woods and bringing them back to the pro shop, and they become friends with them. My oldest is 13, said I want to work there when I'm 16. This is devastating loss to our community. I don't want to see this happen. Our neighborhood doesn't want to see this happen. Our residents and community don't want to see this happen. I'm sure you're well aware of the phrase, read the room, literally read the room.
Yes, thank you. My name is Sue Riccardi. I'm here on behalf of Arnold Preservation Council. I'd just like everyone to know that we're able to monitor this project. Your help, your input. I have some cards here if you'd like to get one afterwards. Has the traffic study been done?
The traffic study is being prepared right now. The traffic counts have been completed, but the study has not been completed.
By whom?
And who is doing the study?
The traffic consultant is Traffic Concepts. They do a lot of work in
Anne Arundel. To us,
it'll be submitted
when it's completed. How will you make it available?
The county. It'll be with the county. Everything in the county is public information.
So it will go in with your preliminary sketch plan, and we have to wait for that to get that.
That's correct. Yes.
Thank you.
In the red here, please.
I'm Melissa Wilson. I'm the president of my HOA, so I'm kind of here with my VP as well. But you were talking about the max price house for the 10%, so for 13 and a half of these units being at 80% of the median. What is that number?
So I do not know that information right now. That would be established by the county through this review process.
Okay, and the sewer system, we have leaks into Milk Creek, into Dividing Creek, into Magothy River all the time because our sewage system can't handle what we have now. So we're going to add another 138 houses into our sewage system. What's going to be done to prevent future leaks?
So as part of this review, the county will assess capacity and any issues that would arise from this development, and if there's any deficiencies that would have to be addressed before they would approve our plans.
Okay, and who is going to be required to maintain the drainage areas from soot and soil that will take no time at all to block them from the rainwater runoff?
I'm not sure I follow your question. Who will maintain the stormwater management on site?
Yeah, you were talking about there being drainage areas
Yeah, so that would be maintained by the homeowners association for this development once it's established.
Wow, so that would be done. And then, sorry, I have no filter.
Excuse me, please.
And then also, you were talking about the schools not being overcrowded. We are one of the neighborhoods that are now being redistricted against our wanting to be redistricted, but we're being redistricted to Arnold because of the fact that Belvedere is overcrowded. Arnold was not overcrowded, but now is going to be basically at capacity. Broadneck High School, they can say it's not overcrowded. My daughter graduated last year in a class of almost 600 kids. Every year the classes get bigger and bigger and bigger. So, and now you're going to add another potentially, you know, 200-300 kids to our school systems.
So all I can say in response to that, just to clarify, I did not say the schools weren't overcrowded. All I said was that the schools are currently open for enrollment, just to clarify. But as part of this review process, the schools, the Board of Education will review the project. They will assign a anticipated number of students, and they will determine if there is capacity in the existing schools. That's not something we, as a development team, assess or suggest or propose. It all comes from the Board of Education. If they say there's enough capacity, then they say there's enough capacity. They haven't said that. Plans have not been submitted, but they will make that assessment during the review process. I'm going to go to this side because we've been heavy on this side. Go ahead and start in the back.
Hi, my name is Arnold, and I've lived here all my life. So I'm against it, definitely, because Ritchie Highway is so crowded. Rush hours, I'm sure everybody in here knows that. If you go through with this, and this is an if, take the exiting road out of where it is, run a road up parallel to Ritchie Highway and go to the existing infrastructure, the stopway at the community college, and let the people exit there safely. You're endangering their lives. You're endangering the people on Ritchie Highway. Forget that.
So that, what you're talking about, what you're proposing, would require approval from the community college. That is not part of this land.
It's the property.
It's the community college's property. That's not the same as the county.
You come over Ritchie Highway, say about 100 feet, and come up. Doesn't that make more sense
so
than dumping on Ritchie Highway?
The proposed location for that entrance there is at the highest point in the road, which provides the safest visibility for oncoming traffic. In addition, there's an existing entrance into this site here right now. Realistically, that is the best location. That's
the best for this. The people who want to go south are going to come up to the next traffic light.
Yes.
Please don't talk.
Yeah.
That's
my complaint.
Kurt, thank you very much for your comments. Sure in the hat.
Yes, ma'am. I'm Wayne Bolliner, Jr. I currently live on B&A Boulevard. Okay, I'm dead against this as well. Because you're talking about traffic coming out of there. That means one more red light on Ritchie Highway. That's going to happen. There's no way they're going to let folks filter out there, so there's at least one red light there. All those cars are going to be dumping off on the B&A Boulevard, which is a mess right now. They can't even pave the damn road in 5 years, and all that additional traffic is going to create more headaches for us, okay? When I raised two children years ago, I've been here 40 years, that road was a nice road, a community road. It had very little traffic on it. Buses are going down there 50 miles an hour. If anybody's rode that road in the afternoon, because everybody jumps off Ritchie Highway and uses that as a thoroughfare. So all this additional traffic is just going to, it's going to not only on a two-lane highway, on Ritchie Highway, now you got a single-lane highway coming through a state road. It's going to be an absolute mess.
Well, as I mentioned, I think before.
I agree with what they're doing. I think if you fit all the environmental, all the best in what all the requirements are, and it's going to be at least 24 homes that are going to be roughly
There's no one.
This woman.
Yes, in the white.
Same thing. I've been here 48 years. Yes, B&A Boulevard is. Not only are they spilling over on the whole county, they're spilling. Not only are they spilling over on A&A, they're spilling over on Fulton County. Just directly through communities, not just an open road. What are you going to do the bridge? Because that's going to handle more traffic. Why do we need a new bridge for more traffic? We're already bumper to bumper. So we're just adding more problems to an area that already is overtaxed with people, with cars. There is no other egress down to the Bay Bridge other than Ritchie Highway. Through this area.
Well, as I was getting ready to say, traffic is one of the items that will be assessed by the county as part of this.
The county only cares about money. They care about tax. They care about what they don't have to pay. They don't care about what we want.
Not the county, so I can't respond to that. And the orange vest. I'm sorry, sir, could you speak a little louder? It's hard to hear you in the front.
Sure, thanks. One of the things I don't like to do is to tell people what to do with their property, but when I look at this plan, I see it's way too dense. And knowing, driving down Ritchie Highway, seeing some of the ways runoff goes through the site, you mentioned the two off-site drainage areas that come in through, I see basically in the middle of this development, there would be issues, because the water runs right through there now, currently. You know, I also see just it's just way, way too dense. The roads can't afford it. They have all these additional vehicles. The schools can't handle all these additional people that potentially going there. It's just not a good site design. It's not smart for them. One gentleman earlier mentioned about putting another road in. I understand the impacts that would happen doing that. Impacted as far as conservation area and things like that. The stream buffer is going to be impacted during construction because runoff's going to leave the site. It's going to be an issue. I think that this is just not a good plan.
Courtney, Courtney, can I respond to that?
Okay. Yes, please.
So with the design of the project, so what one thing I'd like to reiterate is what the councilwoman said about the affordable housing. So with that affordable housing, that drove a lot of what we had to do here on these townhomes. Prior to July, when that bill went into effect, our original concept for this was 74 single-family detached homes. So because of the bill that went into effect, our team had to pivot for that. So if the councilwoman is successful in whatever endeavor she had and she spoke about, then we'll certainly, you know, cause to relook at the design of the project, but we have to operate within that confine.
And I understand that too. I understand codes. I was a plan reviewer of the Save and Apples for almost 10 years.
Sure.
And I've dealt with developments like this. I dealt with the community being upset about projects as well. It's, you know, going from, you know, 74 units to 135, it's doubling your site. Like, you could work with the regulations to make smaller lot sizes, smaller units, within that footprint. It's just way too dense.
Affordable housing price point, where did that start?
That's a good question.
I don't know what the price was.
It was like 374.
Wow, that's not
274?
Three.
374.
And that price is going to be relooked at every 6 months by the council.
No, I just wanted to talk to them. So, the main concern here is that the infrastructure that we have is not capable of withstanding more housing. I mean, we're way, way past the design of the Ritchie Highway right now. So according to ChatGPT's numbers, when Route 2 was built in the 30s, it was designed to withstand 25 to 35,000 cars per day. Okay. Right now we're at 70 to 75. Double to triple that amount. And traffic is unbearable. I mean, it's horrible. I don't even go out in the morning or evenings because I refuse to do it. You're just going to sit in bumper to bumper traffic. traffic. I mean, it's everybody here knows what I'm talking about. It's out of control. The infrastructure, you can't build new ones because you're going to have to take out all the businesses to build new roads. So unless you go up or down, there's no way to build new roads. I mean, we're full at maximum capacity now. So the idea of building new construction just doesn't make any sense. There's no logic to it other than, obviously, from the developer, the builder, and the politicians, they want to make money. But for the people who live here, we're all highly against this. And I know this isn't a county meeting, and that's when I really want to pull out the big guns. But because, you know, they're the ones that are supposed to represent us, but they're not. None of them are. But the other thing is College Parkway, the intersection right there, is one of the most congested intersections in the whole corridor. I mean, it's horrible. And then it's all that traffic coming out on that right-hand turn going northbound. They're going to be going down, bottlenecking even more. And obviously a traffic light just won't make anything better, you know. But the infrastructure can't handle it. I mean, we're way past the limit of where we should be. So, I mean, that's my main thing.
My name is Brandon Fields. I just want to bring up another point here. We've talked a lot about the space, the density, the traffic. We're also not accounting for the fact that these children won't have anywhere to play. Like, the golf center is somewhere the kids can be outside off their iPads, off the TV, off the internet, and interacting with the environment. I volunteer for Brodick Area Youth Sports. I'm the VP of Operations. There is nowhere for our kids to play today. We have no field space. Middle school sports are taking over. There are no lights on our fields to play after November 1st in most of them. So you're gonna have 134 households with kids that have nowhere to go for community rec sports. They're gonna have to go pay to play somewhere else. There's nowhere on this peninsula for them to play on grass or turf field. It just doesn't exist. And so we're taking valuable green space away to put what? More concrete, brick and mortar crap in our community. I think it's absurd.
I think we're running out of time and a lot of people don't want to speak.
I understand the advantage of affordable housing, and I love the idea of 24 affordable. I agree with the sentiment in this room that traffic is a problem. And what you should be aware of is that the county is not addressing the infrastructure. They are going to approve this Monday night the APF Adequate Public Facilities for Roads revamp this Monday night. They have to, otherwise it expires. It's going to pass a 4-3 party line vote, and it does not. It is recognizing bike paths, transit improvements, and sidewalks, and giving road capacity impact fee credits for that. It's robbing from Peter to pay Paul. They're not addressing city infrastructure, even if you can do it. Like this gentleman said, we probably can't even do it. But even if you could, we're not willing to do it, and we're giving the money away because we'd rather do bikes. Which gets to my other question of, is this going to connect to the community college? If these middle schoolers are going to go to the middle school complex, are they going to have a way to walk through the community college? Are you going to provide for that?
It's a great point. So right now the plan does not show a pedestrian connection like that, but that's something that has been suggested and is being considered.
I just wanted to say that I think a lot of people in this room are raising very, very valid concerns about traffic, infrastructure, environment, all that kind of stuff. But it seems they're also very much underestimating how severe the housing shortage in Anne Arundel County is, particularly with this type of housing, this size of housing. I work in housing policy. I am, yes, a lobbyist, I apologize. Like, we desperately need housing, and the only people who can provide that are developers. And the attitude of coming in and basically screaming at them about what the county isn't doing is not going to help a lot.
You live here.
I live here too. No, I live here too. I went to, wait, I went to a meeting. I allowed a development to take place literally in my backyard.
We're not gaslighting them. No one's attacking them.
No, there's
stop.
Everybody's allowed to speak their opinion.
My entire point
time.
Is that there's a lot of hostility in the room, and that's not going to solve our housing crisis. It's not going to solve our traffic problem. It's not going to solve our environmental problems. It's not going to solve our infrastructure problems. I would like to see some people, like the woman next to me, no offense, ask great questions. She had concerns, and she had a list of questions, and that's what this is for. And I'd like to see people see how can we improve that. Councilwoman Fiedler said she wants to knock off the number of units. So we should ask, what was the maximum number of units that could pencil this project out? Like, or the minimum number? Like, what changes could be made that would make some people in the room happy and not just say, hey, there's a development, developers are bad, we hate it. It's not going to solve any of our problems. And I'd love to solve these problems for the whole county. That's all.
Safety is my main concern. I guarantee if this goes in, there'll be double the accidents next year, 1 year from now. It is just way too busy a highway. At 7:30 in the morning, at 12 o'clock, people are zooming by, and if it's you've got to egress right, and you're going to take that little short cut off by the liquor store, it holds about 5 cars. And so that's going to back up there. I mean, that's terrible the way it is now. It's not safe. And then people shoot across, and you can't, this place is for 2 cars by that liquor store. If you're going to go and take that left-hand turn, 2 cars, and then they have to dart out in front of B&A. It's just the safety. That's my main concern.
My name's Ken Salem. I live in the Woodfield Village, Dallas Parkway. And I just want to raise one question on the quote-unquote affordable housing issue, talking about affordable housing. When you read statistics about affordable housing, you read all kinds of economist blurbs about this number and this percentage and all that kind of stuff. I'd like to put it in practical sense for y'all to think about. We have one school teacher here. I don't know how many others are in here. I'm married to a former school teacher. And I'm sure, I don't know if any police officers in here or not, hopefully. No? Okay. My question is, with affordable housing, we look at these affordable housing, whatever this quote-unquote affordable price point is, how many entry-level teachers and entry-level police officers, people that we desperately need in our community, how many of those will be able to afford one of these affordable housing units?
Zero.
Okay, so affordable to who? Affordable is a very relative term.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you again. Ray Wills, I live close to the Dogwood Park. Good yard work. Probably underpaid. My point is mainly mundane. At the next community meeting, can you employ some sort of microphone system so we can hear what each person is saying? We can have a line of people. It's not a new idea, and we wouldn't have people straining to hear what the rest of us have said. Thank you very much.
My name is Darrell Fisher. I was in the hallway in the beginning of this. Did you mention something about there was some sort of incentive in this project?
Just the bonus density, that the base density. Okay.
So what I've heard so far is the original proposal was 74 single-family units. Okay, so the county is the one that is a bad bill of goods by changing this density. We were looking at 74. They're looking to go to 130. The county didn't change the rules right now. They want affordable housing. Okay, now I did some research this morning. Townhomes in this area, you said Baltimore metropolitan area, but this particular area, they're going $450,000 to $650,000 in this area. We're not talking about all the metropolitan area. So how can that possibly, like the gentleman said, be affordable to any?
respond to that. I didn't come up with the regulations that was established by the county. So, right here. Oh. You'll be next.
Hi. My name is Paul Spadaro. I'm president of the Magazine River Association. And on a lighter side, we're not MRA. We are MRA. We were established in 1980, so let's not get this too confused. 46, excuse me. So what I want to say, there's a couple of things. Thank you for the presentation. The Magazine River Association, representing 300 members in 30 communities in the Magazine River, are going to monitor this very closely. There are a couple of issues here that I think had not been brought out or not totally explained. When you have a housing proposal and a number of units, it is provided, even with the new changes of the law for density, that it has to meet environmental restrictions. I'm just looking at this site plan here, and I can shoot holes in it with a shotgun. When you look at their steep slopes, that pond that you're recording that was a man-made structure was actually, if somebody said the golf course was established in 1960, well, if it was a man-made structure, it shows up in the topography map in the turn of the century. And it's also, you're saying it's a hole. Well, it's at the end of Divining Creek. So before the golf course, it could have had historic wetlands. So there are a number of issues in this proposal at this point, which is not the site plan. The site plan has engineering things on it. This is not even signed, so it's the funny papers. So thank you for the presentation. We will monitor this very closely. I don't believe that the environmental issues are even addressed in this point. And you're gonna have a tough sled with traffic. Thank you.
Up to Ritchie Highway. That is for any future sidewalk connections that might be proposed or provided along the highway.
That's unlikely. That's just a requirement.
So, when I saw the plan, that road that leads onto Ritchie Highway, since I was a teenager playing golf there, that I always thought was one of the most dangerous intersections on Ritchie Highway. And it hasn't gotten any better. And I would propose anybody who's standing up here looking at the audience should go there at rush hour, or better yet, have your 16-year-old child go there at rush hour and pull out on Ritchie Highway. I'm not sure that's actually at the top of the hill. I think it's a little past the top of the hill, so you can't actually see traffic coming. And if you go north out of there, you get to the intersection, which is downhill. So as you drive up, which I've done maybe thousands of times at rush hour, you're thinking about which lane should I be in, and you're thinking about what the traffic is going to be, and nobody's thinking about somebody coming in from the right-hand side, and they will, but all the traffic's going to move to the left, and the traffic is really bad now, and that is, if you're going to do one thing, take that, you get approved to do it, take that right and move it south. So it's not past the top of the hill. So at least you can see people coming out of it. I don't believe you're going to be able to not, I'll be interested to see the traffic study. And I'll be interested to see if they, one of the metrics, and I don't know much about traffic studies, is how much is this going to slow down traffic? Because it's going to be significant.
I do. I've been a lifelong resident in Anne Arundel County. Went to Glen Burnie High, and I drive by it twice a day.
So you know the traffic.
I do, yes, ma'am.
The other question I had, you were referring to rear access townhomes. Does that mean like one unit could have two townhomes in it back to back?
So townhome is a townhome where the garage is at the back of the house and the front door is at the front. So it's accessed off of what you would think of as like an alley road, but they're not traditional alley. It's a 24-foot wide road, but the garage is in the back instead of the front of the house. That's
so
all.
Parking
that
in the front as well.
The parking is there's garage parking, there's driveway parking, and there's most of these the rear load units don't have a road in the front. They have a green space in the front, so the only vehicular access is at the back of the building.
Okay, so and follow up with that question: are any of these going to be stacked townhouse units?
They're not proposed to be stacked. It's just
not proposed right now. But what if you do an additional? What is it?
We don't build stack townhomes. We don't do two over twos.
That's not the intent.
So what would be the max amount that if you were allowed to do it that you would propose on this land? What would be the max?
It would be this. Would be
yeah, 100. Well, this is the proposal that's going to be submitted to the county.
So
this
no
is what they intend. That's yeah.
Okay,
what you see
so you're saying it could change. The other thing is, isn't there a fee that you could pay to get out of having?
Not that we could find, no matter.
There's a lot of talk about traffic. And a gentleman earlier indicated what Route 2 was intended way back when with the number of cars. But we've had some instances with small businesses that have been trying to put on Route 2 that we have been fighting, and they keep taking surveys at like 5 o'clock and 12 o'clock. The difference is Route 2 has become a parking lot for the following reason. When people come down 97 in order to get to Route 50 and there's an accident, they are immediately told to get off 100 or Benfield Road and come down this way. On a reversal, if there is an accident going east, they basically come up College Parkway or they come up Route 2. So we've seen the increased number of accidents, but what has to be taken into consideration is not only the traffic on Route 2, on 97, and on Benfield, when we have all of these accidents that are affecting people that live on Route 2 or really on College Parkway. And as everybody said, it's a zoo.
So we're running out of time.
How the people will be chosen to buy the affordable housing? Is it a lottery? Is it?
There's only how many did you say?
23 or 24.
23.
So if you've got 80 people that want to buy a house that only can afford, who gets the houses?
It goes through the county. They have a program that the people work with the county. There's a special department that works for it.
Does D.R. Horton ever do something other than residential? Did you guys build like sports complex for kids?
We do not. No, sir. We're strictly a health
building. Way fun for the kids, laughter, memory, feeling.
I mean, if the seller wants to sell his business, I'm not one to. I can't comment on his
motive.
Either.
You can say thank you. Like, or you
can
ask the county.
No, you're right.
We indoor facility there that packed.
Can we move on?
We certainly could, sir. I respect your opinion.
Mine is a question. Does the fire department have to get involved? Because I can't imagine a fire department would agree to just one way in, one way out, and one way getting up on Ritchie, and then there's the.
It happens everywhere.
No, I know, but are they involved?
The
in
fire
the
department is one of the review agencies at Sketch Plan.
They're all
under
demand at this point already.
So these folks over here have had their hands up for
bit.
Hi, Stephanie Finn, longtime resident on the peninsula, frequenting Anne Arundel Community College, the Golf Center, as well as the YMCA, et cetera. Do you know exactly what the scope of that traffic study is going to be if all of these students are headed down College Parkway for high school? They just finished all of the, you know, B&A trail, et cetera, but it's still one lane in, one lane out. Do you know the scope of that traffic study? We've heard a lot about Ritchie Highway. Will it go all the way down to Broadneck High School in terms of study? Like, how do we determine to make sure that the full scope of this impact goes all the way down College Parkway. Will that be part of the study, or are they just going to worry about that in and out to the actual development itself?
Yeah, the study has to meet Anne Arundel County requirements, and it's usually a certain amount of intersections that they have to do the study for. I don't know what that scoping is. They work with the county on that.
So we don't know if,
I don't
if it
know
extends
it right
down
now.
To the schools that these kids would be assigned to.
Yeah.
We don't have that information tonight. Okay. Lady Green's been waiting for a bit.
They get filled really quick. So all of us communal educator process is the full soup to nuts, all the requirements and approvals that
No, that's a great question. Honestly, I'm not sure if Anne Arundel County has that outlined the way I've outlined it today, the development review process. I'm sure you could call down to the county or email the county and they would provide that information, but I'm not sure that there is where to direct you to find that.
There's some development.
We're all dealing with staffing issues, and when you're waiting on the lunch break to make a phone call, that needs to be like a 10-minute call. You can't get through to the right county department to get in.
Yeah.
So in the documents that are provided with the meeting minutes, that documentation that outline that process, we'll be able to provide that so that we can review it.
Yeah, I mean, everything I said will be in the minutes if we can find, if I am able to find easy website to direct it to, we can include that as well.
There's no one here from the county.
That's
my frustration. But everyone here that's frustrated and having all the comments, you all aren't going to be making the decision about whether this happens or not.
No.
I'm just wondering, I feel like it was good attendance, and I feel like a lot of people want to get their information out to.
I do believe the county reviews the recordings, but.
And also the comment period, the 14-day comment period that Courtney told you about, that all goes to the county.
Mm-hmm. But the county.
Just one more.
This one and the one after final.
There are no counties.
So I just wanted a clarification. As I understand it, the county has created an incentive for you to expand to the maximum capacity, but that isn't a requirement for you to choose.
Well, the bonus density
is
not a requirement.
In order to accomplish the bonus, no one is telling you have to get a bonus, and no one is telling you have to put townhomes here. We're correct. This is because they've created an incentive. This is motivated by some.
I would be hard pressed to call it an incentive. The bonus density is there because with the.
Would you make as much with 75 homes
with
as you do with the?
We're losing money on the sale of the houses, so the bonus density is there so that we can recoup and make the job work. Otherwise, with affordable housing, there would be not many people developing. There's just no way to properly underwrite a deal on anything on those homes.
Are these going to be the last two?
I don't think this question has been asked. Could this be nothing more than a clandestine attempt to get more customers for the new Chick-fil-A?
Real quick, I mean, for years, this has got to be a crucial area back here for
for the forestry and all, because there's a stream that runs back here behind this whole property.
It's already in forest conservation.
Yeah, so it's got to protect it somehow.
It is.
So how can you fill it right up next to it? I mean, you've got to be
responsible. We're not adjacent to that stream buffer.
Wasn't a plan submitted like 10, 15 years ago for the same project? For the same property?
No, it was a house.
Kind of fell through.
I think it was for the trailer park.
Yes.
It was for all of it, including the trailer park.
Was it?
Yeah.
Everybody else answered my questions that they've asked, so I appreciate it.
Okay, we'll just give you the email website again.
Yeah, so thank you guys all for coming out. I appreciate it. If you have not signed in, please do so before you leave. If you would like to submit comments, you can do so via the county's email address, communitymeetingcomments@aacounty.org, or you can go to the community meeting website and search for this project, Severna Park Golf, and you can provide comments through the website as well.
What is that? So we're
going to
adjourn the meeting.
I don't have the website address here. I'm sorry, I have to officially adjourn the meeting. It is 7:11, and we are officially adjourned. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm sorry, let me just stop this really quick.